Testing in the House Chamber, 150th Legislative Day.
Order, members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This evening's prayer will be offered by Representative Sauls. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Sauls.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of the gift of life. And Lord, this day is not over, so we continue to ask your blessings for wisdom and discernment. God, we thank you for living in the greatest country in the world, and for those that have served and sacrificed their lives and their bodies, those that continue to serve us, Lord, that we may enjoy this freedom. We thank you that your mercies are new every single morning. Now, God, I ask your blessings upon every member of this chamber. You would bless their families, keep them safe while they're gone, keep them safe, the members as they travel. And, Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for October 24th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for October 24th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. House Bill 399, an act to make certain tax changes to extend certain tax benefits and appropriate funds from the collections assistance fee special fund to the Department of Revenue. And the following bill duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. Senate Bill 690, an act to make modifications to appointments made by 2019 Appointments Bill and to appoint persons to various public offices upon the recommendation of the President Pro Tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Chapter bills will be noted. Members, on motion of all members of the House, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Andrew Terry and Kami Terry, who are the son and wife of Assistant Sergeant Arms Thomas Terry, who works with us. Would y'all please stand up so we can welcome you? Thanks for being with us this evening. The lady from Johnson, Representative White, is recognized to send forth a representative statement that will be read upon adjournment, and the lady is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege, and the House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tonight is a very special night for me and for a lady that is joining us. Watts Hospital School of Nursing, the oldest nursing program in North Carolina, originated in 1895. It is also one of the oldest nursing programs in the nation. On September 23rd of this year, the hospital-based diploma program formally transitioned to a new name, the Watts College of Nursing, and a new nursing baccalaureate program, Watts College of Nursing, is a corporate affiliate of Duke University Health System, with Duke Regional Hospital serving as its primary site for clinical experiences. Dr. Peggy Walters was installed as the first president of Watts College of Nursing on September 23rd. Dr. Walters has been a nurse for more than 46 years, including 42 years in nursing education. She joined Watts in 1980, became director in 1994, and served as Duke Regional Hospital's interim chief nursing officer from 2008 to 2009 and associate chief nursing officer from 2009 to 2013 while maintaining responsibilities for Watts. She is a past chair of the North Carolina Board of Nursing, having served 11 years on the board. Dr. Walters is a Great 100 Nurse of North Carolina, Educator of the Year, North Carolina Nurses Associate, Triangle Business Journal Health Care Hero, and Duke University Health System Friends of Nursing. It is a great honor to be a Watts graduate. I never had to compete for a nursing position. All I had to tell them is that I was a Watts graduate. When I came to Watts in the late 60s, early 70s, it was during the end of the Vietnam War. I am that old. Most of the procedures and fundamentals of nursing that we were using at that time were based on what has been learned during the Korean conflict. If you want to see what a hospital room and diagnostic test was like at Watts during that time frame, just look at a rerun of MASH. Every morning before going on the floor, our nursing director at Watts and the chief operator of the nursing program at Watts inspected each nurse. We had to line up in military style and be inspected. She sniffed our neck, our hair, checked our nails for length. They better be short and clean without polish. Our uniforms were made by Watts seamstresses and custom fit for each student. They came down to 4 inches from our ankles. It was not good if you didn't pass inspection because that meant you had to go to do extra duty in the hospital. We had a freshman dorm called White House, named after Mary Louise White, born in what is now Vance County in 1858. She became a trained nurse at age 36 and started the first nursing program at Retz Hospital in Raleigh. She founded the Raleigh Nurses Association in 1902, and it is now known as the North Carolina Nurses Association. And this is where you all came in, or those that came here before us. In March of 1903, the North Carolina General Assembly passed a law signed by Governor Charles B. Aycock to raise nursing standards and to require the registration of nurses. North Carolina was the first state to require licensure of nurses and to have the first board of nursing in the United States, and that board is the only board of nursing in the United States today that has been given the permission by the General Assembly of North Carolina to allow the nurse members of that board to elect their own board of directors. So we have been partners with the General Assembly for many years. Also in 1903, Ms. White became the superintendent of nurses at Watts Hospital in Durham. She later started the first school of nursing at Duke and pre-nursing program at Greensboro Women's College at UNCG. Watts' roots run deep in the foundation of professional nursing, in the standardization of nursing practice, and in the history of the establishment of our professional nursing organizations. This has been an exciting journey to see all the nursing programs, to see the nursing program continue to grow and continue its relationship with Duke. On behalf of Representative Maury and myself, congratulations to Watts and to Dr. Peggy Walters. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Members, on motion of Representative White, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Peggy Walters, her husband Stanley Powell Walters, and mother Dorothy Rowe Campbell. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you over here on the left. Thanks for being with us. Lady from Durham, Representative Moore, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And Representative White, thank you on behalf of Durham, Representative Zach Hawkins, Representative Marianne Black, and myself. We congratulate the history of Watts, their service to the community, and especially are honored to have Dr. Walters here. And thank you, buddy, for this recognition.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To speak to the representative's statement.
Please recognize to speak to a point of personal privilege.
I didn't realize that Representative White was a graduate of the Watts School of Nursing. My great-grandmother, Ethel Clay Price, was actually the first graduate of the Watts School of Nursing. And the family has a scholarship set up in her memory. And my late sister also attended Watts, and we have a scholarship set up in her name. And we really appreciate Dr. Walter's leadership and all the leadership at Watts. I'm very proud to be associated with that school as well. Thank you.
Lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to add my congratulations and acknowledgement of the accomplishments of my nursing colleague, Peggy Walters. Peggy and I have worked on many initiatives together. She is indeed a wonderful leader in nursing in our state and nation, and she deserves all of our accolades. Thank you.
Again, on behalf of the full House, we appreciate you all being with us here this evening and congratulate you on this milestone. Members, with respect to the calendar, at the request of the bill sponsor, the chair is going to remove House Bill 959, which is the exempt cemetery property. The bill is removed from the calendar and recommitted to the Committee on Rules calendar and operations of the House. Also, a motion of the bill sponsor, Senate Bill 315 is removed from this evening's calendar and will be placed in 36B to be noticed later. Senate Bill 144, the clerk will read.
Senator Heist, Senate Bill 144, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize constituent institutions to consider recipients of full athletic scholarships as residents of North Carolina. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill would restore in-state tuition for out-of-state athletes. This is something that we actually had in North Carolina, dating back to around 2010 when it was repealed. This is something that some of the athletic directors at some of the university schools are asking for. The language is permissive. It allows the Board of Trustees to make a decision whether or not they want to do it. Candidly, this would benefit some of the smaller schools. And when I say smaller, I mean the size of their athletic booster. UNC, NC State, they're right there at the top. They're among the two powerhouse schools within the Division I system. But some of those other schools, just to name a few, like UNCG, ECU, UNCW, A&T, they would greatly benefit from this. From my perspective, I did consult with the athletic director at UNCG as well as A&T University. They both support this bill. They think it would help with recruitment. It's also worth noting that we already allow this for academics, so this would create parity between academics and athletics. The other thing that I want to point out is that many other states do this. I believe a majority of other states allow this to happen. I think this is actually a jobs bill because it will generate more ticket sales, more sponsorships. The schools will sell more promotional items like jerseys and so on and so forth. I think it will also benefit some of the athletics that we don't see and hear too much about, you know, like some of the ones that are not on TV all the time, the ones that we don't see promoted all the time. A lot of those activities, I think, will have a tangible benefit from this bill. As far as the way it works now, the scholarships are often subsidized by the booster club. But the issue there is that not all the students will have a full scholarship. Sometimes they have a partial scholarship. It doesn't pay the full cost. So I think it makes a lot of sense to do this. Again, we're leveling the playing field with all the other states, creating parity between academics and athletics. I think it's a good bill, and I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Richardson is recognized in the Fourth Amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Richardson moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 22, by deleting the quotation at the end of line 22.
Chairman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I believe this to be a very friendly amendment. My research assistant played football at Carolina and is very familiar with the student aid process. And he brought up the point that this is a very good bill, but it has several spots in it that need perfecting. One of it is when an out-of-state student is treated as an in-state student for residency purposes, the financial aid that they get in addition to the scholarship, such as travel and subsistence, it gets reduced to in-state status. And that affects, if they're traveling from long distances, that affects greatly their ability to get back and forth to home. So we're offering this amendment to correct that glitch. I called Commissioner Swofford, Commissioner of the ACC, and he said this is a very good bill that when they had it before, it really helped the universities fill in a gap that was there, and it actually helped raise money for the universities in terms of increasing those universities with good athletic programs, their actual enrollment and the applications to go to the various schools increased. So this can be a very, very good bill. But this part needs to be corrected so that the student athlete does not lose their financial aid, part of their financial aid package. And that's all this does. It doesn't hurt the bill in any way. I spoke to the rules chairman, and he liked it, and I believe other members of the chairs of the that are sponsoring this bill are okay with it. Thank you.
on the amendment. For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardest, arise?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. I'd like to thank Representative Richardson for bringing this amendment to us. The bill sponsors believe this is a good amendment and would ask you to vote yes.
Representative Hogg, is this on the amendment or on the bill? On the bill, okay. Further discussion and debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Richardson. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 101 having voted in the affirmative, 5 in the negative. The amendment's adopted. Gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I know that many for this bill will think about the top-tier programs in our state, we do have quite a few schools from the CIAA conference and the MEAC conference. Notably, one of the better schools in Durham County, North Carolina Central University. And I wanted to make sure that my colleagues had an understanding of this, because it really does level the playing field for our universities, specifically HBCUs, to compete. I had the opportunity to speak with the athletic director for North Carolina Central University, and what she let me know is that if granted the opportunity to have the out-of-state tuition waived for full scholarship student athletes, they have the ability to allow more athletes aid, especially for women's sports, specifically also for Olympic sports, and they have the opportunity to reallocate dollars to ensure that more students get the health and well-being and mental health monies that they need for matriculation through the university. And so while, again, I know that we focus on the booster clubs from the larger schools, I wanted to make sure that I brought to light for my colleagues that the smaller universities, North Carolina Central, North Carolina A&T, Elizabeth City State, many others across the state of North Carolina would greatly benefit from this, and I'd ask for your green vote.
Let me go ahead and address the other amendment. Representative Russell, the chair is in possession of the gentleman's amendment. The chair is going to rule the amendment out of order, and the chair would point out why. The chair believes that, frankly, it should probably require a title change. The amendment, if adopted, would substantially change basically the entire realm of college athletics for the entire state. Don't know if that's what the gentleman intended or not with all this, but that's the net effect of the gentleman's amendment. So the gentleman's amendment is ruled out of order. The amendment will be appealed, returned to the gentleman. If the gentleman wants to appeal the chair's ruling, the gentleman's welcome to do so. But
I would appeal it. I would like to speak to that.
The gentleman's recognized to appeal the ruling. The gentleman has the floor to speak to the appeal.
What the amendment does is it actually asks that for this privilege to be offered to the universities, that we actually hold the universities' feet to the fire on academics for these athletes that are given this. I do not see that it would. I believe it's absolutely germane to the bill, and would appeal that ruling.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question before the House. To be put is as follows. Should the member's appeal of the chair's ruling be sustained? All those in favor of the member's appeal and overturning the chair will vote aye. All those opposed to the appeal will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Watt, machine record the vote. 32 having voted in the affirmative, 75 in the negative. The chair's decision stands. The lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I don't want to spend too much time on a history lesson. I sure wish that the late President Bill Friday could be with us tonight, and I'm not going to do a very good job of channeling him to explain why this is such bad policy for our state. Y'all remember that this was a provision that was slipped in the 2005-06 budget bill, and it took us 4 to 6 years to repeal it after we had faced a $4 billion budget deficit. It was basically a $10 million subsidy to the athletic booster clubs in our UNC system. And the price tag has only gone up since then. This provision, and I appreciate the fact that this is being brought to us as a separate bill that we can actually debate and have a vote up and down rather than slipped into a budget, so thank you for that. But this provision came out of a much more comprehensive bill, the Athletic Bill of Rights, Senate Bill 335, which addressed a number of issues relating to student-athletes and the fair treatment of student-athletes. And we stripped all that out, and all we've got left is this booster club subsidy. I want to explain the economics of this if I've got the numbers right. So I'm sympathetic to the smaller schools, and at this point I'm going to, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to object to third reading because I'm working on an amendment that will address that issue, that will offer in third reading, that will actually help the smaller schools, but not have the taxpayers subsidizing the larger booster clubs. Because right now, if this policy were in place, and if the General Assembly were appropriating the money, because we're going to somehow have to come up with, those universities are going to have to come up with that, those lost funds, $5.887 million would be going to the UNC Rams Club, $2.5 million to NC State Wolfpack Club, $2.03 million to the ECU Booster Club, and then it's reduced from there. UNC Rams Club Foundation has $268 million in it right now. The NC State Foundation has $100 million. The ECU Foundation has $35 million. So if we pass this bill and the legislature starts funding this gap in funding for these universities, it will be $17 million, and almost 10 of that's going to these three booster clubs. I will just submit to you that that is not a good use of taxpayer money when we face a number of shortfalls in areas of such as teacher pay, healthcare coverage, cleaning up the PFAS contamination over our river. It's frustrating to me that this bill is back. It obviously has a vote, and that's why it's on the floor for a vote. But I just don't think this is a good use of taxpayer money. I think it's a terrible policy. I think it sends the wrong signals to our universities that we're going to be subsidizing the athletes at the expense right now of the academic programs. And I would encourage you to vote no. Thank you. And I am objecting to third to offer an amendment. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative John, rise?
Debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'd like to draw your attention to a potential consequence of this bill, which is not clearly evident from the text. A few years ago, my twin sons were potential college athletes who went through the recruitment process in the sport of baseball. It's a very competitive process, as it is with all the other sports. Players' speeds are measured in terms of tenths and even hundredths of seconds. The pitcher's ability to throw is similarly measured. There's a fine line between athletes who actually ultimately become eligible to be offered scholarships. In baseball, it's partial scholarships that Representative Hardister alluded to, and those who do not. What I'm suggesting is that if we expand the pool for scholarships to the nation, we're doing so to the potential negative opportunity for our own North Carolina athletes to receive these scholarships. So I throw that out for your consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you. To debate the amendment.
Lady has four.
Thank you. And it's similar to what Representative John just said. I think we're putting our own North Carolina student athletes at a disadvantage. We're giving favoritism to any student athlete in high school out of state, in Virginia, in Georgia. You've raised your kids in North Carolina. They're an Olympic sport athlete. They're football, basketball, but especially the minor sports. And we're saying we're going to give favoritism to that Virginia high school kid to come in to North Carolina and receive in-state tuition, knocking out our own kids from that opportunity to participate. I mean, it's a fundamental flaw, and it's a fiction to call out-of-state students in-state for tuition purposes because of athletic prowess. Let's give the benefit to our own students in North Carolina for in-state tuition.
For our purpose, gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon Rice.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have given some considerable consideration to this bill, and I'm going to vote for it. I think the arguments over there sound good on the surface, but there's not a lot of depth to it. I was fortunate enough to go to school on a football scholarship. I had many friends from other states who were given scholarships and participated. So I think that on balance, this is a good bill, and I'm going to support it. I am going to take this opportunity, though, to expand a little bit on a concept of what really hurts North Carolina athletes, particularly high school athletes. And this is just a tiny bit off the subject, but I'm going to squeeze it in anyway. Some of the universities are playing football on Friday night now. I was quite pleased when the Carolina coach, before the Wake Forest game, said that he didn't like to play coach college football on Friday night. And so, Mr. Speaker, I'm just sending a message sideways to the universities that some of us don't like the idea of colleges playing on Friday night. That really does hurt high school athletes.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Beasley Rise.
To be recorded as voting no on the previous motion.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted no on the previous, on the appeal. Gentleman be recorded as having voted no on the appeal. For what purpose, the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell Rice.
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have studied this bill carefully, Representative Harrison, I don't think it is costing the state money. I think what's actually happening here is a subtle transfer of money from academics to athletics. Now, it very much depends on exactly what happens with the scholarships that are being offered, but I think the net effect will be transferring money from academics to athletics within the individual schools. There's about $16 million at stake here. That's the total amount of money that has been calculated that is there. Without my amendment that would have held universities' feet to the fire on the academic point, I'm urging you to vote against this bill. There are issues with recruiting, particularly out-of-state students from junior colleges across the country with academic issues for these students. And without that guarantee of enforcing graduation rates and things like that, I encourage you to vote against the bill.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Turner Rice.
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this bill for the universities. For those of you who don't know, in a previous life, I was an assistant vice chancellor at UNC Asheville. In my role there, I interfaced closely with our athletic director, as well as the vice chancellor for finance. I've spoken with both of them about this bill, and I've also spoken with representatives from Pembroke, Elizabeth City State University, Western Carolina University, and once we sort of move our gaze beyond the triangle, we can see that this bill will really have a positive impact on a number of the other universities around this state. It is something that my home university, UNC Asheville, has asked me to support, and I'm very happy to support it. And I want to reiterate something that Representative Hardister brought up. It's a permissive bill. Each university can decide whether or not this is the right path forward for them. And I like that idea of local control for the universities, and I like the idea of this bill, and I hope you'll vote yes.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Iredale, Representative Fraley, rise.
To speak to the bill, please. The
gentleman has the floor.
I think it's important to point out where we're talking about in-state students getting shut out of institutions because we're taking out-of-state athletes against this in as in-state tuition. There's a cap of 18% that holds across all the institutions. The only institution that bumps up against that on a regular basis is UNC Chapel Hill. NC State has come close a couple times, but not many. North Carolina A&T does exceed 18% on occasion, but only because of engineering degrees. So to make the point of in-state students losing their opportunity in UNC institutions because of this, I think is pretty inconsequential. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 144, and actually strike that. Members of the chair told Representative Harrison, chair is going to let her go ahead and run her amendment. We were looking to see if we may or may not have to have recorded votes tomorrow. I'm looking to see what's on the what's in the queue right now. So not sure on that, but I think Representative Gilbert's going to be recognized, send forth an amendment. The clerk will read. I mean, Representative Harrison of Guilford, excuse me.
Representative Harrison moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 6 through 22, by rewriting those lines to read.
Representative Harrison, the lady is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, so I have heard the arguments about how this will really help the smaller schools. I got a call from A&T, and I've been contacted by other universities, and I did some research. I believe the A&T athletic endowment is less than $1 million. I mentioned to you that the Rams Club Foundation has $268 million state, $100 million, and the Pirates, ECU Pirates, $35 million. So what this amendment does is basically helps all the other schools on that list, but not the top three. And while, yes, there's not appropriations in this bill right now, the anticipation is that there will be. And I looked at Carolina, the in-state scholarship is $25,000. Out-of-state scholarship is $52,000. That difference is going to have to be made up some way, and eventually I anticipate that they're going to be coming to us for the appropriations. So if we're going to put this policy in place, I think we should actually help the smaller schools and the HBCUs. And so what this amendment does is it limits this to entities that have endowments, athletic endowments of less than $5 million. So that, I think, covers almost all those other schools except for the top three that amount to about a $10 million appropriation when this funding occurs. So I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
To debate the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I would respectfully ask you to vote no on this amendment. I think the bill has efficacy the way it is now. I think it makes sense for this to apply across the board, the same for every school, for it to be uniform. Again, the language is permissive. Someone made the comment to me that the women's athletics at some of the larger schools would benefit from this bill if we were to pass this into law the way it is now. This amendment could have an adverse impact on some of the athletics that, again, as I alluded to earlier, we don't hear too much about. And, we've often talked about trying to promote women's athletics, and someone made that point to me as soon as this amendment came up, and I thought, you know what, that's a great point. So in the interest of being fair to all the UNC schools, making sure that we're treating them all the same, that the law is uniform, and that we're doing the best we can to support all of our athletics, which, again, engender economic benefit, that benefit the communities across the state, and that can actually generate revenue through ticket sales and through sales of paraphernalia and sponsorships. I would politely and respectfully ask you to vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Onslow, Representative Cleveland, rise?
Speaker, on the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the opposite view. I think it's a good amendment. I am against the bill. We stopped this practice a number of years ago, and now it's coming back. And the idea that the taxpayer isn't going to pay for it's ridiculous. You all know it, and I know it. This amendment at least restricts the taxpayer dollar to go to the smaller schools that need the help. If they want to bring their football and athletic teams up to a higher standard. The larger schools, the booster clubs, got sufficient funds to take care of this. The smaller ones don't. So I would encourage you to vote for the amendment and give the smaller schools an opportunity to build their teams. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd Rice? Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A2 sent forward. Chair did see the light and looked up. For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson Rice?
Speak briefly on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Members, I've been thinking about this and listening to the debate. I think this amendment is much to do about nothing. Keep in mind that each athletic and each board of trustees of each individual institution has the ability to adopt or not adopt this. I don't think this amendment does what it's intended to do. Let's leave the bill in its original form.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A2 sent forward by Representative Harrison. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 36 having voted in the affirmative, 71 in the negative. The amendment fails. Further debate, further discussion on the bill? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 144 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 88 having voted in the affirmative, 19 in the negative. Senate Bill 144 passes second reading and will without objection. You're at third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 144 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 144, having passed its third reading, is ordered engrossed and returned to the Senate. Be at ease momentarily. Members, the chair is about to put the House into ease until 8 o'clock, just to resolve a calendaring question about tomorrow and a couple of other things. But before that, I saw Representative Clemens. I saw the lady's light. For what purpose the lady rise? Okay. We're just stand at ease till 8 p.m. The House will come to order. Members, just to advise the body of what that all that was about, there's a local bill that has to do with annexation, and there was a conference report not in. and we need to receive that in tomorrow. We will need to have votes tomorrow, receive that bill in, so that we can have votes Wednesday and Thursday. Otherwise, we'd have to be here Friday. The chair was trying to find a way around that, but there just is not a way. So there will be, we will take up some other matters tomorrow while we're here as well. So that'll be the, and of course, committees, chairs are free to notice bills for committee in the morning. For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
To speak to a moment of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to rise today because when people do kind things or say kind things to you or send messages, thoughts, and prayers, it's always appropriate to stand up and say thank you. My granddaughter, 2 weeks ago, had an accident on number one in Fredericksburg, Virginia. She wasn't driving. The driver was her girlfriend. They were on their way for a trip to see her mother, and they swerved to miss a deer. And they ran off the road into the woods. The ambulance passed them three times because they could not find them. The 911 operator told the little girl, turn the flashlight on your phone and wave it in the air. And that's when they found them. The little girl had a collapsed lung when the EMT picked her up. And my granddaughter had a fractured spine, and she was hemorrhaging in her abdomen from two severed arteries. She immediately had surgery on that morning about 8:30, and I got there that evening. And they stopped the bleeding, and she was okay. The next day, they had to go in and do a 5-hour back surgery to put rods in her back and pins. And for two nights, she was up talking about how much pain she was in. I was there because I knew that was where I was supposed to be. I decided in a couple of days that we would be leaving there. We had some of the best trauma surgeons in the country at Mary Washington Hospital. And of course, we had absolutely some of the finest nurses. And also had contacts back here in North Carolina that I was able to make calls and say, tell me this, tell me that, help me get here and help me get that. And I thank them for their kindness. So I rise to say thank you. I brought her home last week. She's up walking. That's a blessing. Yeah, she has a brace, but she's still walking. Her brain wasn't impacted. That's a blessing. She still is in her sound mind. The doctor told her the seatbelt did some damage, but it saved her life. She's 19 years old. She's doing well, but she just has a 75-year-old body now. So thank you all. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Clemens, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor.
I rise tonight because Greensboro and North Carolina lost a true leader today with the passing of Senator Kay Hagan. If you are from Greensboro, there is almost nothing in our community that she has not touched. By being a community leader, an elder in our church, First Presbyterian Church, she was Vice President and Executive for North Carolina National Bank before coming to serve here in the North Carolina Senate in 1998, and then was the first Democratic female senator from North Carolina elected in 2008. Kay Hagan served with courage, determination, care, and honor, and doggedly fought for what she felt like was the right thing to do, but did it in a way that uplifted others and made us all feel like we could do more. I started a women's group in 2016, and we invited Senator Hagan to speak, and so she spoke to the group three nights before she fell ill. And that night, she said, a lot of us are frustrated, but the only thing we can do is to keep doing what we can where we are, realize our paths change, but keep moving forward. She also said, there were about 150 women in the room. She said, I want all of you to run for office. And then gave me a book, with paper-clipped parts of the book that she thought were most important about how you lead effectively. And she was sick Wednesday. That was a Sunday. And so I spent a lot of time with her over the next few years, and would go to her home and show her pictures about the path that we have all been on and talk to her about it. And she continued to be filled with light and love with her children, Jeanette and Tilden and Carrie and her grandchildren. And just 2 weeks ago, she was my guest at the Guilford County Unity Dinner, her family and her, and her dear husband, Chip, who took her everywhere. And she sat at my table, and they were going table by table introducing all of the elected officials. And they introduced each of us, but when they introduced Senator Hagan, everyone in the room stood up and gave her a standing ovation. And her eyes filled with light, and she tried to raise her hand and wave to everyone. And so to the very end, through the worst challenges physically anyone should have to go through, she still felt light and love when she connected to the people of our community. And I believe that's what she would want us to continue forward. And I will get my act together for a representative statement tomorrow, but I didn't want to let today go past. I know we all do. So many of you have made beautiful statements to her, but I did want to call her name tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Inquiry, Chair, Mr. Speaker, this late hour. Mr. Speaker, you were not able to work your miracle, so could you let us know tomorrow what it is?
Session tomorrow will be at 2 p.m.
Assuming
Wednesday will be the same.
Thank you, sir.
And Thursday, we'll see if it can do morning. The plan is to try to wrap up for the week on Thursday. And we are looking at an adjournment resolution to come back on November the 18th, which is two Mondays from now.
I'll follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Jones recognized.
Would you please be able to work your miracle, sir?
I'll try my best. And we're going to adjourn in memory and honor this evening of Senator Hagan, by the way. Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, October 29th at 2 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 and in honor and memory of Kay Hagan, former member of the General Assembly and the United States Senate.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Harrison, that the House be now adjourned to reconvene Tuesday, October 29th at 2 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1 and in honor and in memory of Senator Kay Hagan, who is also a former member of the General Assembly. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned. Representative Statement, the clerk will read.
A representative statement recognizing Watts College of Nursing and congratulating Dr. Peggy Walters as the first president. Whereas Watts School of Nursing is the oldest nursing program in North Carolina and can trace its origins to 1895, making it one of the oldest nursing programs in the nation. And whereas on September 23, 2019, Watts School of Nursing, a hospital-based diploma program, formally transitioned to a new nursing baccalaureate program known as the Watts College of Nursing. And whereas during the transition, Dr. Peggy Walters was installed as the first president of Watts College of Nursing. And whereas Watts College of Nursing is now a corporate affiliate of Duke University Health System, with Duke Regional Hospital serving as its primary site for clinical experiences. And whereas Dr. Walters will serve as an outstanding leader for Watts, having served as a nurse for more than 46 years, of which 42 were in nursing education. She originally joined Watson in 1980, becoming its director in 1994. She maintained her responsibilities at Watts while serving as Duke Regional Hospital's interim chief nursing officer from 2008 to 2009 and associate chief nursing officer from 2009 to 2013. And whereas Dr. Walters has also served 11 years on the North Carolina Board of Nursing, including as past chair, and has been recognized as a Great 100 Nurse of North Carolina, North Carolina Nurses Association Nurse Education of the Year, Triangle Business Journal Healthcare Hero, and Duke University Health System Friends of Nursing Excellence Awards recipient. Now, therefore, Watts College of Nursing should be recognized for becoming a baccalaureate program that provides additional opportunities for those pursuing nursing. And further, Dr. Peggy Walters deserves to be congratulated on becoming the first president of Watts College of Nursing and for contributing to her professional for so many years. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 28th day of October 2019. Submitted by Representative White. Submitted by Representative Morey. House Principal Clerk James White.
Special message from the Senate Clerk Reed.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 315, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to the agriculture laws of the state. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted. Representative and Chairman Lewis is recognized to send forth the conference report. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 683, to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 683, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the laws governing mail-in absentee ballots to restore the last Saturday of early one-stop voting and to extend the time by which the County Board of Elections need to replace direct record electronic voting equipment under certain conditions and to temporarily authorize the county to test new voting equipment during a simulated election. House Committee Substitute Favor 826-19, Sixth Edition, Engrossed 828-19, submit the following report. The conferees recommended that the state, the Senate, and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report, October 28, 2019. Conferees from the Senate, Senators Daniel Chair, Senator Newton and Senator McKissick, Senators from House of Representatives, Representative Lewis Chair, Representatives Grange, Dahl, Warren, and Hawkins.
Pursuant to Rule 44D, the conference report with the bill is placed on the calendar of October 29th. Representative and Chair, Representative Elmore, is recognized to send forth the committee report. Clerk will read. That's a conference report, by the way.
Senate Bill 522, to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 522, a bill to be entitled an act to make clarifying changes to teacher licenses law and to align the selection of innovative schools with those identified by the State Board of Education for comprehensive support and improvement, to expand options for the innovative school district to require local boards of education to inform boards of county commissioners of the academic progress annually, and to require further study of the reform assistance to low-performing schools. House Committee Substitute Favor 710-19. House Committee Substitute Number 2 Favor 723-19. Sixth Edition Engrossed 724-19. Submit the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report October 28, 2019, conference in the Senate, Senator Ballard, Chair, Senators Horner, Tillman, and Davis, conference of the House of Representatives, Representative Elmore, Chair, Representatives Johnson, Horn, and Brockman.
The bill and the conference report are counted pursuant to Rule 44D for October 29th.